Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. Sorry for the delay there. We didn't have an episode set up, so I just set it up quickly, and we're off and running. This is three astrologers gathering on the internet to talk. New Moon in Aries, you know, new beginnings. Off we go. Welcome, welcome. I am Ann Ortley, your astrologer down here in Boca Ciega Bay, on the bright turquoise desk, and I'm joined by Heather, Mark
Wolf.
Who are you? Mark Wolf.
Yeah, Mark Wolf's calling in from New York City.
Yeah.
Over by the Hudson.
Over by the Hudson River.
No,
we'll see if Heather. Yeah, we'll see if Heather shows up. Yeah. Watching the beautiful wind blow, right?
Right.
Yeah. Cool. All right, well, I will update the thing. Right now I have it in as Access Astrology, the gang speaks, and we're off and running. So new beginnings indeed. So lots of energy in the heavens, lots going on Earth, lots of changes. We have a new moon that happens in a day or so. We have the sun went into Aries today on the world point, which marks the beginning of spring in the northern hemisphere. The days will now start to get a minute longer every night and be available for us to kind of go, oh, wow, there it is. There's the moon. There's the moon. Oh, wow, there's a new moon. So new moon cycles run for 30 days, and they also run for 2.5 years. And so this new moon is the first new moon, first Aries ingress, and it's on a world point. So it's a very potent moon. Very, very big things happen under this. So we have Putin meeting with Z tomorrow. We have Donald Trump saying he's getting arrested. I don't know if he is or not, but there'll be a lot of stuff going on. And in the new moon at zero Aries, and at the end of the month, we'll be in eclipse season, and the new moon will be at 29 Aries. So this is a really potent energy that we're working with here. So, Mark, talk about what you think the new moon is going to bring for folks.
Well, it's a strong one. It follows really right on the ingress into Aries by the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And the sun for the moving away from Pluto and Mars and from aspects to them. And it's even stronger as it goes in with the new moon because the moon and sun act together. And
right.
They're at 0 degrees of Aries, which is very special.
Mm-hmm. Good night.
The world point.
Thank
yeah.
you. My sister's saying good night, so she's going to bed now. No, I just got my good night kiss from my sister. Yeah, she's visiting for the week. So, all right. Yeah. Yeah, so the new moon is beginnings, new starts, new direction, new forward motion, right?
Yeah.
And then later, and we also had, go ahead, I didn't mean to interrupt.
We're squaring Mars and leaving that square behind, because Mars is at the end of Gemini,
mm-hmm.
and Sun and Moon are just stepping into Aries. So the square is still there, but they're leaving. And I read it as whatever conflict the square from Gemini, Mars, gave to your chart, the sun is willing to let it go. So go with the sun.
go with
what's in your best interest and leave behind the conflict you had with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Just be willing to just let it drop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just try.
Let's move. Let's get this thing moving in a new direction.
Let's get it moving in a new direction. Yeah, and all last week we had the Neptune, and now this week it's fire. And also Mercury went into Aries on Sunday, and Mercury in Aries is very much about new beginnings, new ideas, new launches, and he's in mutual reception with that Mars and Gemini. So it can be Mars and Aries, or it can be and Mercury in Gemini, or it can be Mercury in Aries, sharp-tongued, and Mars in Gemini going, well, should I do this or that? So really reach out. When mutual receptions are working, what we do is we can work with them and say, hey, I want to flip this. I want to work with this in a new way. And so the energy is very positive for getting things done and kind of moving everything forward. so it's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, and Mercury and Mars work together. They mm-hmm. have an understanding. You know,
right.
instead of Mercury being lost in the barrage of words, mm-hmm. instead it can recognize a little more than usual how words
mm-hmm.
lead to action.
Right, and how we get things moving along, yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
And then we also have Mars going into Cancer at the end of the week, which is a big deal because he's been in Gemini since mid-August, so he finally gets to change signs, which is good because he's now going to be in a different sign, which gives him a different, you know, approach to the things every 2.5 days when the moon changes signs. He's still out of bounds until May 4th or 5th. But he's shifting, and that also will give us a bit of relief as he shifts out of air into water. But as he does that, he also has a war with Pluto. He and Pluto are in a what we call a quincunx, which is an adjusting energy, often brings up health issues or health matters. And he is going to come to trine Saturn in Pisces, which is not bad. That's usually a productive use of the Mars. But he does have a health aspect with Pluto all this week, actually. So, and a lot of times before he perfects the health, health matters can step forward and say, hey, I've got something going on with my health here. I need some help. So, you know, be very conscious of health things arriving up or rising up and taking prompt action on them because the planets are all shifting. And when they shift, we had Saturn, then we had Mercury, then we have Mars, and we have Pluto later this week. As they shift, it really changes our reality on a very big level. So when you look at Mars in Cancer, what do you think about, Mark?
Well, it's not a happy place for Mars.
Mm-hmm.
it's too emotional, and Mars is more the soldier, the warrior. And doesn't really want to stick around and hold hands. So
mm-hmm.
it's, I always think of Mars in Cancer as being somewhat impatient.
Mm-hmm.
Impatient about what we're feeling in order to get on and just do something about it. So that's what we have coming up. Mars in Gemini was more air sign, more thinking, more communicating. But as it moves into Cancer, it drops that part of it too. So it moves into water. And Mars is,
right.
I guess it's a good swimmer, but only because it has to.
Not that he's going, I want to swim. He's saying, I have to swim. Right, yeah.
Exactly. It swims to get away from the alligators.
Right, right. It's like, all right, we got to go. We got to do this. We got to do this. And we also, he's going to be in Cancer for 2 months because generally he spends about 2 months in a sign. So he'll spend 2 months in Cancer, 2 months in Leo, 2 months in Virgo. And we are finishing up this seven-month cycle where Mars was in Gemini. But he does trine Saturn, you know, which is a forward motion. And Saturn, of course, changes signs after spending 6 years in signs that he likes. Now he's shifted into water where he's kind of figuring out how he's going to navigate. So it's helpful for Mars to come along and say to Saturn, swim this way. But it also is, you know, it's definitely got an emotional cast. And then we have Pluto going into Aquarius, and that happens
right.
on the 23rd. Yeah, that's the fun one. Pluto
yeah,
in Aquarius last. The last time he was there was 1777, and it was Pluto into Aquarius kind of kicked up the American Revolution, the French Revolution, 248 years ago. So nobody on Earth has ever had this happen, currently living on Earth. We've watched it in other times. You know, every 250 years we see it do stuff. And what it does is it asks us to change how we think. We're leaving Earth behind, and we're going into air. And if you look back on the different times Pluto's been in Aquarius, it's been a lot about the collective or the community, because Aquarius is community, and it's air. thinking in a different way or coming up with different ways of looking at things. So that part's optimistic. It does have a little bit of a hard energy to it. You know, certainly the American and the French revolutions were not easy. You know, people got their heads cut off. But, and back when they published the Bible in English, that was one of the other times Pluto went into Aquarius, people got killed for publishing the Bible in English because they didn't want you to know the information. When it went in, back in the time of Kublai Khan, they learned how to make guns. And so you could get killed at a distance. You didn't have to get up close and personal to kill somebody. So it was no more, you know, right makes might. It was like, I got a gun, I can shoot you. So it's an interesting energy, when, and it changes how we think about things. So we're starting that March 23rd through June 10th. And then June 10th, Pluto's going to go back into Capricorn for a cleanup through January. And then he's in Aquarius. And he's basically in there for 20 years. He has a little tweak next year in the elections too, when he goes back to 29 Capricorn. But it's definitely going to really shift how we think about things, how we look at things, what our understanding is about stuff. So I'm kind of looking forward to it. And of course, our country was founded it wasn't our Constitution, it was our Declaration of Independence. And we've been really having a Pluto return the last couple of years in the U.S., which is having us think about what our government is. Do we like it? Do we like the way things are going? And what changes do we want to make, if any, and what do they look like? So there's certainly people that are saying it needs to change like this or it needs to change like that. And that's part of the energy that we're going to be working with the next 20 years, like taking those things that we've been looking at and saying, well, they need to shift. And, of course, in the history of the United States, we've never had a sitting president or a former president indicted for a crime. Doesn't mean they didn't do things, but no one's ever been indicted. So if in the next couple of days Trump gets indicted, you know, again, it's a once every 248-year cycle. So it's really interesting energy in the skies right now. So when you're talking to your people about Pluto and Aquarius, what do you say to them, Mark, about what they should anticipate or how it's going to work?
It's really the collective energy that's going to show up. And it marks a whole generation of people that we'll be talking about for decades. Two decades. about how they express Pluto in Aquarius. So it's the job of this whole next generation to figure out all the ways that Pluto can manifest in Aquarius.
Mm-hmm.
A short while into that, Neptune is going to move from Pisces into Aries. So we'll have a general figuring out how to express Neptune in Aries. And there are many, many ways to do it. And we're all going to have some role to play in collectively showing Pluto in Aquarius and Neptune in Aries. Interesting that way. And I think for us individually, this, and just note in our lives how the sense of power with Pluto and self-empowerment, how it into the collective and collection of people so that they have more power than the authorities. It makes real sensibility.
Yeah. It really does, and it really helps us think differently than we have up until now, because it says, you know, you have to kind of think of other things besides Capricorn, what you want. You have to think about what's good for the greater good of the group. So it gives a different perspective. And when we look back at times when Pluto's been in Aquarius before, it did represent a shift in how people thought about things and what they wanted, what their hopes and dreams were for themselves and their vision of where they wanted to go. So it's an interesting energy, and it's definitely got a collective feel to it, but it also has, you know, how do we work together to get there? So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, because this is the trailer for the movie. So there's a really good astrologer named Carolyn Casey, And she always says, you know, what's your vision? Because you're laying the track for the reality train to come. And, of course, Neptune's been in Pisces for a while. It's, you know, it's in the 20s, the high 20s right now. And Saturn's going into Pisces for 2.5 years. So Neptune's been laying the track, and Saturn's going to come along and lay, Neptune's been visioning the track, and Saturn's going to come along and lay the track. And so it's really important for us to really focus on what track we want to lay, because the reality train comes along behind it, you know, and amplifies it. So, and then the thing that happens in February of 2026, Saturn is at zero Aries, and Neptune is at zero Aries. And they meet up at a conjunction at zero Aries. And that hasn't happened since 798 BC before Common Era. So that's a long time. Obviously nobody in settled civilization has had that. So it'll be interesting to see what it is. But we really want to be very conscious about what we're laying down, what's the foundation, what's the route we're laying as we go forward. Because that's how we get there. You know, we have that perspective, and we go, okay, what am I focusing my interest on? What am I dedicating my life to? What's my intention? And, of course, Jupiter's in Aries right now since December 21st. So he's starting a new 12-year cycle there too. And he said, you know, where are we expanding our lives? What's that new 12-year cycle, which he set off on December 21st? And now the sun and the moon are aspecting that point. And then in 2026, Saturn and Neptune say, okay, this is what we've built, or this is what we've broken apart, because a lot of times Saturn and Pisces dissolves things. And when he's dancing with Neptune, you know, this is a structure that we're shifting and changing. So it behooves all of us to know what we're shifting and changing it into and what we'd like to see emerge. You know, it's kind of like when you start tearing up the concrete in the backyard because you're going to put a deck in. You kind of want to have the plan for the deck before you start digging the holes. So it's really important for all of us to kind of think about that, what that looks like, you know, and how do we work with it.
And remember that when Saturn represents the train following in the tracks, it's a no-jump train. It's really, and it can only go in the track.
Mm-hmm.
If you derail Saturn, you got a big problem. So,
right,
you know.
Yeah.
Be aware of that as you lay the track. You want something that Saturn can move well with.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And as it moves well with it, what that track is that it's driving on. Yeah. And, of course, we did, you know, with Saturn and Pisces, it's gas. So we had those train derailments that involved gas and water and fire, too, because Jupiter was in Aries. But it's an energy. It's a really interesting energy because it has a, you know, what is it we actually hope for, right? And, of course, when Neptune was in Pisces, in Aries the last time was the Civil War. I'm not voting for that reality, but it's understanding, okay, what's that, you know, what are we looking for in terms of our ideals and dreams and our hopes? And so this is a really big week to think about that because there's also a lot of ending and shifting energy that's part of the changes too. So I said last week was the biggest week, and this week is like right behind it, maybe even a little more big or a little, you know, because of the shift. But we do know that Pluto's just going to be in Aquarius for a couple of months, and then he goes back and says, oh, I'm not quite done with Capricorn yet. So it's like you run the movie, or you know how they do what's it called, the preview, and they test the audiences, and the audiences go, well, I didn't really like the way the hero died in the end. So you have an opportunity to re-edit things from June 10th till January. And then Pluto's in Aquarius, and he's like, all right, this is it. We're off and going. So, yeah, very transformational on multiple levels. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. What were you saying?
Transformational aspect. It has to do with power and who has the power.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Within us, for our lives, it's best to keep the focus, need to change, and fundamentally, you know, in what ways do you think fundamentally? And don't worry too much about other people changing. You know, there will be many, many people just like you, but
right.
they'll get there. Ready.
Mm-hmm. And it's important, you know, it's got an important quality to it and an important opportunity for shifting and changing. And I think when we know that, I think that helps a lot in terms of us adjusting energy and figuring out where we want to go. So,
yeah.
Big stuff happening. Big stuff happening. So,
yeah.
And I guess Heather's not joining us tonight. she's
in Minneapolis, remember? She's in Minneapolis.
Oh, okay, that's right. Yeah, because the episode wasn't set up either. Usually that's there, and I'm like, all right. And she didn't come in. I forgot. I have had so much Neptune and, you know, a lot of turbulence because it's all on my stuff too. The other thing is Venus and Juno are on the North Node, meeting the North Node this week, encouraging us to move forward in a new relationship. Venus meets the nodes every year, but the nodes are not in Taurus and Scorpio, but once every 19 years. So this is a 19-year initiation around relationships and partnerships because she's, you know, she did meet it last year, too, when it was in Taurus. But this is at 4, so think about planets you have at 4 because Venus is inviting us to move forward in a different way than we maybe have in the past. And so there's a lot of energy around full steam ahead with the invitations being issued this week. And there are health aspects, so anybody with health stuff, to the doctor immediately. So that's also a helpful thing. So you want to take a caller? We have a few people that are on the line that might want to talk to us. All right, so we'll try. Hi, 901-364. You're on the air. How can we help? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, can you hear us?
No.
Hi.
Yes. Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm great. Thank y'all for taking my call. My birthday is 4461.
Wait. Let's get you up and going. Hang on. So your birthday is April 4th, 1961?
Yes.
And what time?
5:51 a.m. Memphis, Tennessee.
Memphis, Tennessee. Okay, cool.
And that's April 4th?
Yes.
All right. And what's your question?
My question is, I'm looking to look into what would be some good careers to look at. In this phase of my life, what I have in mind is I'd like to start planting, growing, start an herb garden, learning how to plant and grow food, and also learn how to build coffee tables with pallets. And once I learn how to do those things, I would like to generate income by teaching it. So this is one thing I have in mind, and I'll yield the floor to what you all see as well in my chart as I'm getting ready to turn 62 in another couple of weeks.
Well, I think this is a really big year for you for a couple of reasons. The eclipse that we're going to have on April 19th is on what we call your progressed Venus. And Venus for you is kind of tied to how you make your money and what you do for your work and how you relate to the outside world. So this is kind of a new cycle around those areas. Like, you know, so to your point, I have these ideas about how I want to make money and where I want to proceed. You're also having your progressed moon come to your progressed midheaven, and that's going to be this month coming up. The moon is 8:51 and the midheaven's 9:28. So that's very often a let me step forward and do something different than I've done before And the moon has been, you know, dancing in your, you know, dancing in the house of ideas. Now, it is going to be in Pisces for another 21 months, 2-1, which often makes us feel like I'm working on something that's a little ephemeral. Like I have this idea. I'm not really sure where it's taken me, but I've got this idea. And you're also having Jupiter, which is the planet of how I make my money from other people, as well as my vision for where I'm going and what I do for groups. So that's the teaching piece. Jupiter just came across your ascendant. So if we think back to 2011 and what was going on for you then and back to 1999, each of those cycles were new cycles about beginning work, new money. You're also having Venus at the last, your progressed Venus is the last degree of Aries. So she's going to shift out of Aries into Taurus. And that, I think, is your yearning to grow things or make something physical, you know, because once Venus gets out of Aries, she's like, all right, I want to do something like with the earth, with land, with herbs, with making things. So she shifts on July 31st. So those are good times. And you're having the nodes going through your house of relationships. So this is an excellent time to pull in people for the next year and a half, really the next year. And that's got a forward motion energy to it. Mark, what do you see?
I think the idea of growing things is good if you combine it with teaching. So if you do some sort of like a demonstration garden or some way that you share what you know and mm-hmm. help people to find an experience, that'll work well for you.
Yeah.
Because you like to move forward and you like to have your own ideas, but then to be able to share them is a good energy for now.
Yeah. It does look like you get it started, but because Pluto's going to come back to your Saturn in the fall, it might be revised in the fall and then really clear once we get to January. So I would experiment with different things and see who shows up mid-July to help you with this. And we're also starting a new 8-year cycle around love and money and creativity in your fifth house. That's going to happen on August 13th. And that was similar to cycles that started in August of 19 and August of 15 and August of 11, where you kind of had, gee, I think I want to go do this now. So there's very strong energy calling you, is the way I would refer to it. And, you know, just kind of listen for the whisper in your ear and definitely follow it, you know. Mark, anything you want to add before we wrap up?
No, I think that's pretty well covered. Unless
cool.
You need to go. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, good luck with it. Keep us posted.
Yeah. Oh, I will.
All right, and that's it for us on Blog Talk Radio tonight. We'll be back next week. I forgot Heather was away. And off we go. I'm Ann Ortley signing off from the Turquoise Desk down here in Boca Ciega Bay in Florida.
And Mark Waltz signing off from New York. I almost didn't make it tonight, too, because my wife had a stroke. But
I know. I didn't know if you wanted to say that on the air. So I was like I was going to call you when the show was over. Is she okay?
She is okay. And tired right now, but the procedure went well. They were able to aspirate the big blood clot, and that opened up the artery.
Good. Okay. So that's cool. I've been saying prayers. So everybody in our listening audience, I didn't know if you wanted to talk about it or not. So the episode wasn't there. But please say prayers for Eileen, so that she recovers.
Thank you.
You know. Yeah, and for you, too, Mark, you know, because this is hard on the partner. Yeah, so
that's
I was going to call you after the show and ask how she was. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But
yeah,
I'm glad the surgery was successful.
Definitely. And so she won't have as difficult a recovery.
Right.
But everybody pay attention. Learn the signs of stroke. And if you suspect a stroke, act immediately.
Right.
Because the sooner they can address that blood clot, the better.
The better. Yeah. And did she have symptoms for a little bit before you got her in the hospital?
No, not really. No, she basically fell over.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And, yeah, she was home. I wasn't home. And she was, only one half of her body was working. But she banged on the wall and alerted the neighbor. And the neighbor came to the door, was able to figure out what to do. Eileen couldn't open the door because she couldn't stand up to get the door locked. It was quick thinking on everybody's part.
That's good. That's good. I'm glad that they got her there and fast too.
Yeah,
so we'll pray for her recovery.
All right.
So the police came and the EMS came and took her to the hospital. Yeah.
So
that was quick. She banged and was heard and was, you know, because really with strokes, it's also how fast you respond. So.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Okay.
All right. Well, big hugs to everybody, and say prayers for Mark and Eileen, his wife, and speedy recovery. You know, and she's so healthy, so I'm sure she'll be okay.
I know.
But I'm glad the surgery was successful. Yeah. And we'll send her love and Reiki and prayers, and you know, life can change in an instant. You know. Yeah.
That's right.
So, yeah. All right. So we wish you all a wonderful week. And we'll see you next week. In the meantime, pray for her and pray for Mark. And, you know, pray for yourself, too, and everybody that's having a hard time. And we need a lot of prayer. Everybody can use a good prayer. Yeah. All right. So we'll send you all off into the week. And take care. Good night from Florida.
Good night from New York.
All right.
And
good night from Heather, wherever she is. All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye now.